Turning now to Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And our subject is the culture of thankfulness. And we couldn't possibly have planned it this way, but proceeding through 1 Corinthians with our studies to have arrived at this 18th verse at the end of an old year and at the beginning of a new. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's a very short verse, but it's such a challenge and a help to us. And first of all, we're going to be considering the significance of thankfulness, its particular significance. It's one of the life-transforming duties of the Christian life. Perhaps you haven't looked at it in that way, but thankfulness is immensely formative, as I hope to show. It makes such an impact on our life, on our character. It's a vital route to blessing. Thanksgiving is vital, acknowledging of all that God has done, of every answered prayer, of every engagement with Him, and it's vital in order to proceed into further help and blessing. It's the opposite of Eden, the Garden of Eden, the fall of man, the temptation of man. We'll go into that as time goes on. But it's the very opposite. Thankfulness, that's what was lost initially in the Garden of Eden. It's neglected at great cost. There's no doubt if it's allowed to fall, everything fades in the Christian life. All instrumentality, all Christian joy and assurance, all things fade and diminish without thankfulness. So the apostle says, in everything give thanks. Now the sense of the Greek is in all circumstances, in every situation, give thanks. So it's the perfect subject for reviewing our personal Christian lives at the end of the year. In everything give thanks, in hard circumstances, in good circumstances. Of course, you cannot thank God for cruel things and deeply, deeply disappointing and grievous things, but you can praise and thank Him that you can call upon His name and for His strength to endure and for His deliverance from so many problems. They will lead to great praise and thanksgiving if you bring them to the Lord. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the opposite of the fall, you see, that you should be, that we should all be increasingly thankful and grateful to God for blessings and benefits experienced. It's everywhere in the Scripture. It is the basis of all worship. It's implicit in almost every psalm of praise and worship, and every expression of worship in the Scripture. It's cast in terms of thankfulness. You will not very often find that particular word, though you do find it a number of occasions, thankfulness, being thankful, giving thanks, but it is implicit in every expression of praise in the word of the living God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's everywhere in Scripture. When David appoints Levites in accordance with centuries before the appointment under Moses to minister before the ark, he appointed them, we're told in 1 Chronicles, to record and to thank and to praise God. And I'd like to read a few words in Psalm 105, which come immediately from that occasion in 1 Chronicles. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. These were the Davidic instructions. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. That psalm isn't ascribed to David, but we know it's his because it's from his lips in 1 Chronicles, where those verses are otherwise recorded. At the example of the Saviour, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And when he's our representative on earth, he leads us in prayer to God. Just over in 2 Thessalonians here, chapter 1 and verse 3, an example of what is in almost every epistle of Paul. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and so on. Thankfulness. Worship, essentially, is thankfulness, and it is a condition for blessing. Dear friends, there are some people these days, one or two books on happiness from Christian authors, and they're not bad in some ways, but you know, the modern tendency is to think that happiness for Christians, just the same, is a sensation produced by or stimulated by nice things, sensations, enjoyable things. But spiritual happiness is nurtured in the mind, and it's a response, a recognition, a thankfulness for all that is revealed, the truth of God, and for all that is revealed to you in your experience as God deals with you and answers your prayers. Spiritual happiness is a fruit of cognition, thankfulness processed in the mind. There's a great warning in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 where the apostle speaks of people, the time coming when people will be unthankful. And what immediately follows is unholy. That's a consequence of lack of thankfulness. Thankfulness, dear friends, is so vital to us. So that's its significance. But I'd like to speak a little about thankfulness in terms of its effect upon us, how it shapes us. First of all, clearly, it shapes humility in us. Thankfulness, recognition of God's goodness and blessing, humbles us. We are so helped. We're helped every day, constantly. We were helped in salvation. It wasn't we who sought the Lord on our own initiative. It wasn't us who woke up one day and thought, I will seek the Lord. I will yield my life to him. Nothing would ever have been further from us. It was God who did it. It was his initiative. It was he who first put concern in our hearts for the soul, for spiritual things. It was God who opened our eyes and brought to our minds the truths of salvation, the atoning death of Christ, our own need, the whole need and fact of Christian conversion, the greatness and goodness of God. These things were done for us, and it's been so ever since. Everything that we've ever done in life as Christian people, we have been helped in answer to prayer. God has done so much for us. Now, thankfulness recognizes that. The practice of thankfulness recognizes all that God has done constantly, almost hour by hour, certainly day by day. And so it humbles us. It's not me. It's not by my power. or wisdom or capability. Certainly, we've all been given gifts and powers. And we give glory to God for all the help that we receive. So much is given. So much is the Spirit's distinctive work. If we witness and the word of God takes root in a heart, was it the quality of my witness or my word? No, we would never say so for a moment. It is the work of the Spirit. And so we praise him and we thank him. The more thankful, the more humble. The more lowly, the more humble, the more lowly, the more acceptable, not only to God, but to others. The more people will listen. The more people are affected by what we say, there's no doubt. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, there's a very famous passage, as you know. And Samuel would have, would have built a house for the Lord, a first temple, and it was in his heart. But Nathan, the prophet, was sent to tell him no. That wouldn't be given to him, that task. He could plan for it. He could accumulate the means of building the temple, but it would be his son who would build it. Wouldn't be David. But David was not to be disappointed because God gave him a mighty blessing. And Nathan the prophet was given to speak to David about his descendant, the great descendant, promised first in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:15, the one who would come and bruise the serpent's head, the great coming deliverer, the great descendant promised several times to Abraham, who would come, through whom all nations of the world would be blessed, and promised also to Jacob, so fully, that great descendant was now promised to David. He would come through his line. And David was overwhelmed. And he thanked and praised God. And you get there in 2 Samuel and in chapter 7, one of the most glorious accounts of a person being humbled before the Lord. David is overwhelmed. He scarcely knows what to think or say. His prayer of gratitude is an absolute treasure. In time, I'd have read it to you. But dear friends, thankfulness is humbling. It dissolves us in humility before the Lord. And also, alongside and allied to humility, indebtedness comes from thankfulness. We feel our great debt to Almighty God. I am debtor, says the Apostle Paul, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and also to the unwise. Why did he feel indebted to them? Because of his own deliverance. And he praised and thanked God that he who was a persecutor, he who deserved nothing at all, had received light and understanding. He who had been so proud of himself as a learned teacher of others, had known nothing and had to be cast to the ground and humbled to the dust and taught of God his own need and the way of salvation. And the Apostle Paul, ever since that time, rising out of his thankfulness and his praise to God, had felt deeply indebted to all others, whether the wise Greeks or the ignorant barbarians. And he says also in Romans 8, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. The more thankful you are, the more indebted you are to God for salvation, for his goodness, for his strength, for his enabling and his power. And that indebtedness urges you to holiness and to please him. And it makes you unselfish. And it makes you one who desires to engage in witness and good works. So not only humility, but a great sense of indebtedness comes from the practice of thankfulness. And of course, trust and reliance also comes from thankfulness. Trust and reliance upon God. I read you Romans 1 and verse 21. These may seem strange words to read. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Paul is talking about the unconverted, of course. Unthankful to God. I made myself, they say. If they're great intellectuals, they're proud of their mind. If they're great businessmen and women, they're proud of their business acumen. If we've got good memories, we're proud of our memories. If we're athletic, we're proud of our prowess. Oh, the human being, so proud, unthankful. And we read, therefore, of the unthankful world, however intellectual, however powerful, well, God brings it down. Because that when they knew God or his being and existence was obvious, they glorified him not, neither were thankful, but he allowed them to become vain in their speculation and their thinking, and he allowed their foolish hearts and imaginations to become darkened. Yes, but if God in his justice deals with men and women who were unconverted in that way, do you think he's going to bless us if we're unthankful? Believers saved by the precious blood of Christ, who thank him only once a week, or twice a week, or three times a week, who don't have a culture or a spirit of thankfulness, are we not going to be delivered over to our own strength, our own capacities? The blessing of God diminished towards us. There's a warning there. There's a principle there. No, the opposite. Trust and reliance is built up by intelligent, sincere thankfulness all the time for all things. It helps us to remember the blessings of God, appreciate them. That builds up our faith for the future. And our trust in him and our reliance. Show me a believer who responds well to troubles and disappointments and stands up. You can't diminish the pain, but stands up and calls upon the Lord and trusts in him. It's a person who's been thankful and remembering the blessings. That's the principle. That's how it works. And fourthly, of course, thankfulness strengthens our love for him. Even Simon the Pharisee, who was in the house, when that woman came to Jesus and anointed his feet with the hairs of her head, and Simon the Pharisee was disgusted, and Christ said to him, imagine there's a debtor and he owes 500 pence and another one owes 50 pence and the one to whom the money is owed forgives them both. Who'll love him the most? Christ asked Simon the Pharisee. Well, I suppose, said Simon grudgingly, the one who was forgiven most will love him most. Yes, the more sensitive you are, not only to how much you've been forgiven, but how much you've been helped and how much you've been blessed, the more sensitive you are to that and the more thankful you are, the more love you'll have. The principle was even understood by an unconverted, proud Pharisee, and it should be understood by us. And then thankfulness increases our happiness and our assurance and our contentment. David says so. The Lord is my strength and my shield, he says. But he says more in Psalm 28. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. And then he goes on to say, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The more thankfulness, the more recognition of God's goodness to you and help toward you, the more happiness you'll know, and assurance and contentment, and you'll appreciate God more and his unfailing goodness. Dear friends, there's so much to be thankful for. And then just let me give you one other point here before we move on, and that is this. You'll be more spurred to witness by thankfulness. Even the lepers who were healed in Samaria at the time of the famine, and there they were starving outside the wall of the city of Samaria. In 2 Kings chapter 7, you know the account. And they thought, well, we'll throw ourselves upon the mercy of the Syrians. And off they went to find the enemy camp. And they found it, you remember? And it had been deserted. The whole army had fled. And there were the tents with all the riches and the food and everything. And those lepers just feasted themselves and took what they could and hid it, we know not where. And they busied themselves hiding away substance for themselves. What would they do with it? They were lepers confined to outside the city of Samaria. And then suddenly they were ashamed of themselves, or so it would seem. And they said, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings. We better go and tell the people of the city there's food in abundance. Well, dear friends, it's the same with us. The more thankful you are, the more you want to share it. The more thankful you are, your heart says, I do not well. I cannot keep this life of blessing and help from God to myself. The more thankful you are, the more you're stirred to Christian service and to witness. It's an obvious principle. So, friends, we haven't long left. Thirdly, let's think of reasons for thankfulness. Reasons. You could... it amazes me. I've done it myself, though, in the past. People say, Pastor, I can't pray for more than 10 or 15 minutes because I can't think of things to pray for. Have you ever thought that? Astonishing. You can't think of, well, even in the Thanksgiving department, there's enough matter to thank God all day and never do anything else, which isn't practical, of course. Thankfulness. Thank God for himself, for his mighty attributes. You learn very early in life that human beings are unreliable, that the world is unreliable, that the world doesn't keep its promises, that there are constant disappointments and letdowns, that nothing is trustworthy. Don't you? I'm sure you do. I've told you this before, I think, but I remember, well, very early in life, I won't tell you, disappointments, major disappointments, but I'll tell you one. I don't want you to think I'm bitter. I'm not. It's too long ago. When I was 18, the government said, National Service is coming to an end soon. Then they said, but those of you who were, before we announced that, those of you who are of age, we'll get you. You'll all be called up. And I, like quite a number of others, thought, well, I'll go into the military before I go to college, get it over with. So I started my 2 years, And there was the government saying, if you go to college, you know, and we stop it, we'll get you. Everybody's going until the date comes. I had been in the services only a few months, and they said, right, now we're going to end it. And all those of you who've been deferred or gone to college, we don't want you anymore. They went right back on their word. And those of us who'd gone in, we were caught out. Then they made it worse. They said, but there's a consolation for you. You'll only serve 18 months. But to me, and to quite a number of others, they said, oh no, you've got to do the whole term because your work is too important, which was rubbish. Anyway, and so you learn early. You can't trust governments of either side. You can't trust the world. You can't trust human promises. Life's pathway will be strewn with disappointments. What's this got to do with our subject this morning? Well, it's obvious. Thank God and praise him. Thank him that he is absolutely reliable, that his word is sure, that all his promises are kept. Praise and thank God that he is unchanging, immutable is the word, that his word is true, that he will keep his promises to you as a believer and see you firmly through, that trusting in him you will never be lost, that he will answer your prayers according to his great wisdom. So thank him for who he is, the holy, perfect, all-powerful, unchangeable, ever-kind God. Praise and thank him for his sovereignty. Do you pray for other people? Have you got a wayward boy or girl? And you pray, and the years are passing, and you may be inclined to give up hope. Thank God that he's sovereign. Maybe after you've gone, he will change the heart. Who knows? But he hears the prayers of his people. He takes account of them. And dear friends, he is sovereign. And if he determines to save, he will save. And if he determines to keep, which he does all who are truly saved, he will see them through to the end. Praise and thank God for his sovereignty. Praise him for his discipline. William Cowper has several very beautiful hymns, not all in the hymn books today, praising God for his disciplines even. The disciplines may hurt, but the outcome is deliverance. Praise and thank God for every discovery in his word, for all the light and understanding you've been given at conversion. Praise and thank God for family, for friends, for children, for your wards, the children you look after in Sunday school. Praise and thank God for opportunity of service and witness. Praise and thank him every time you witness that the opportunity was given, that there was a hearing ear, and it may well bear fruit at some time. Praise and thank God for intercession, the privilege of being able to persuade God to save others, but it's all according to his will. Praise him for help received. Have you thanked him for help received last week? Emergency prayers, he helped you through, and you forgot to thank him. Praise him for safety. Long journeys, driven even in the last few days, and you think it's your safe driving. Really? Praise and thank God for all his help every time. Praise and thank him for the church where he set you, for the Sunday school, for all Sunday schools. Dear friends, astonishing that the blessing that we have here, that so many teenagers and children come out to Sunday school today, of all days, at such a time as this, with all the antagonism to God and the hatred and the atheism pumped out constantly by the media, and yet the Sunday schools are full and wondering eyes listening to the word of God, and many may have no encouragement from anyone in the family. These are astonishing things. Praise and thank God for all these things. Praise and thank him for things that you read in his word anywhere. Thank him for beautiful sights, natural and beautiful things. Praise him. If you praise him and thank him, he may give you more. Who knows? Thank him for everything. Thank him for every endorsement and confirmation of your faith. Praise and thank him for every sinner saved. People known to you, people not well known to you, every temptation rejected. The Holy Spirit stirred your conscience. You were about to say that terrible thing, that unkind thing, that barely honest thing, and your conscience was checked, and he gave you victory. Praise and thank him for temptation resisted. Praise and thank him for the certainty of the future. Oh, there were so many things to praise him for. Praise him for years that pass, and here we are. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn which begins with these words, "And are we yet alive?" It was a hymn for the Lord's table. Yes, praise and thank him. We've still got faculties and strength and a measure of health and can live for him and serve him. How much longer before he takes us? And when that happens, when the moment comes, praise and thank him that you'll step straight into glory, that you won't know death in your soul, but you'll find yourself gloriously in the presence of Christ. And you'll see those who have gone before in the great reception hall of the King of Kings. Praise and thank him for certainty, for the anticipation you may have of eternal glory and eternal peace. Oh, dear friends, may this coming year be a year of thankfulness. Look back across the last. How thankful was I about specifics, about details? What a change it'll make to you. Are you a grumpy person? You become a thankful person. You'll be so much sweeter to all around you, so much nicer. The change will be obvious. It isn't an artificial thing. God has done great things. Thank him. And he'll do them even more. Oh, friends, make this coming year such a year of thankfulness to God and appreciation. It'll change your life. Let me turn you to the words of Isaac Watts. It's Psalm 136. Give thanks to God Most High, the universal Lord, the sovereign King of Kings, and be his love adored. His power and grace are still the same, so let his name have endless praise. As a hymn of thankfulness, make it a year of praise and thankfulness. Just quietly repent of unthankfulness and change your whole attitude to life. Look for every blessing and thank God from your heart. Let's close, dear friends, singing together the hymn 423.